Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Amy provide helpful tips on how to get ready for anything that comes your way. And now, your hosts, Doug and Amy.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Ready Radio, and we're going to be with you for the next hour. You're listening to Doug and Amy, and we're all about emergency preparedness. We talk about all kinds of different topics, and today we're going to be tackling water purification.
And water purification is one of those topics, especially looking back over the last couple of weeks with the disaster that happened in West Virginia. It's a very important topic to be able to understand not only what water purification is, but how you can best purify your water concerning the sorts of contaminants that may be likely in your area. But also, we want to talk about, you know, some of the current events that have just come up. I know, Amy, that although we had been planning to talk about water because of West Virginia, just in the last 2 days, we've seen just, I believe we're calling it snowpocalypse across Atlanta.
Sure, sounds good to me. I mean, when you're stuck in it, you're calling it all kinds of different things.
Most of them four-letter, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we can't really repeat today, I think.
So that's a good topic that we need to talk about a little bit as well, considering what you should be doing to be prepared for the next storm, because I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going out on a limb today to say that there is another major winter storm coming towards the Atlanta area by the end of next week.
Well, hoorah, I will be home. I sure hope, at least anyway. I was stuck in it for about 5.5 hours, and I know there's probably people listening right now scoffing at me going, oh yeah, I got you beat, because there are people that spent the night out on that road.
Yeah, I've heard the horror stories of people stuck on the freeway. My poor wife left our house at 11 a.m. to go pick up our son from school, and then she came back, and I was over at TruPrep, just kind of helping around, looking at what they've been up to and lately. And she came to the store where I was because somebody had plowed their truck into the guardrail gate of our apartment complex.
Oh, no.
And there was impossible to get up into the apartment. And since we were pretty close to TruPrep anyway, she came over to the store where I was and said there's no way to get into the apartment without, you know, abandoning the car and walking up the hill. And so I looked over at the owner. I was like, hey, can we stay here tonight? And that's exactly what we did. We camped out in TruPrep on Tuesday night. My wife and my kids and I, we turned on Netflix on their big TV that they use for their classroom, and the kids watched some cartoons, and I broke out the wallet and bought a bunch of freeze-dried food from them, and we started making freeze-dried food with hot water out of the microwave and had a little camp out right there in the middle of the store.
Wow. Well, I guess if there's any place you want to be stuck, I guess that's the place to be.
It was pretty awesome place to be stuck during an emergency because, you know, I had everything. But then again, I didn't have everything I wanted.
A recliner maybe, or what?
A bed. A bed would have been nice. Yeah, they don't do sleeping bags or cots there, so I was sleeping.
Well, what about the Eno hammock? You could have maybe put that.
Yeah,
that out or something,
I'm sure there would be some way to attach it to the plywood walls and keep it from falling down. But I wasn't that adventurous. I ended up sleeping on the concrete floor. We pulled all the blankets out of both my car and my wife's car were there, so we had like 9 blankets. So we made a nest for the kids, and my wife had a blanket, although she went to one of the office chairs because I'm telling you, the concrete floor just ain't happening.
Oh, trust me, I've tried it before, not on purpose, but I was on an air mattress once, and that darn thing had a hole in it, and I slept on the hard floor all night long. So yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, so that, I mean, there's little things that come up that you think, man, if I just had this or that, it would have been so much easier. Just keeping a pillow in the car is a good idea. And the kids had a pillow pet each that was in the car, so they had nice pillows. But I had a wadded up coat, and my wife had a duffel bag of laundry that she was taking to the laundry that she used, which I don't know who is better off, because mine definitely smelled better, but hers was much more comfortable.
I bet. Oh, my gosh. Well, there's, I know a lot of people that were stuck out. And just hearing, you know, a lot of the things on the news, I know that there was a baby born during this. I know that I've heard so many different stories, and people are still talking about it. I mean, I walked into QT to get a cup of coffee today, and they're, you know, talking, well, where were you? And I think that, you know, the whole question, where were you during this snowbageddon, is that what we're calling it? you know, we're going to be talking about that for years.
Well, the idea is that it really wasn't that bad of a snowfall.
Mm-mm,
I mean, it was
two to three inches. Mm-mm, it wasn't the problem.
It wasn't very icy. I mean, there were some places where it was, sure, but over, I mean, across the entire city, there weren't that many spots that would have caused this much havoc. But what happened was all the people decided, I'm getting out of Atlanta right now.
Yep, I was one of them.
And when everybody left at one time, there is not the infrastructure there to move that many people out.
No.
And so then people get stuck on the roads, and one accident backs up when you've got all these people trying to get out of the city. And what I've kept saying since this happened is, this was just a couple inches of snow. Imagine when something really happens, when there really is an emergency where everybody has to get out of the city. What's it going to look like then?
Oh, yeah. Gridlock forever, I would imagine.
And what are you going to do? We saw people, you know, we were sitting there watching out the front window of True Prep, and we saw these people walking up the side of the roads. Mm-hmm. Nobody had a coat on.
Yep.
They were wearing, I mean, we saw short skirts and high-heeled shoes trekking up the side of the road. How are you going to get anywhere like that?
Yeah, slowly, yeah. I guess.
Dangerous.
And painfully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not a good situation.
We had one woman run in, and she threw open the door and said, "What is wrong with all these people? I just moved here from Chicago. Where's your bathroom?
Wow.
And I pointed. There's a bathroom over there. She ran to the bathroom.
Yes.
And then she came out and she said, "I'm just leaving my car here. I'm going to walk the rest of the way." And off she took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, wow.
I was in a very similar situation. Had to go potty. And I saw a racetrack. Just saw it right there. And it took me 2 hours to get there. And I was not happy when I got there. So, yeah, I mean, they actually make different things that you can keep in your car. And that is one of the things that it's like a little travel urinal.
Let's talk about things that you should keep in your car all the time. Now,
let's do that, Doug. I think that's a great idea.
Some people talk about bug out bags. Some people talk about get home bags.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good idea just to have a general basic, this is what I keep in my car set of items that stay in the car all the time. I mean, these are things that you're going to replenish when you use them. You're not going to use them on a daily basis, but they're there if you need them. And the first thing, the very first thing that comes to the top of my list is a little bit of bottled water and graham crackers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I've got two small children, as you well know, Amy.
Yes.
And there is nothing that will seal their mouths up like graham crackers.
And these kids are precious, by the way. We've got to, I don't know if you're against it or not, but I think we should put some pictures of those beauties on readyradio.net. Which, by the way, if you're listening and want to, you know, maybe listen to some past radio shows that we've done or have a question for us, readyradio.net is the place to find us.
Not only readyradio.net, but also on Facebook and on Twitter. You can find us at all three places. And that gives you the ability to not only see things that are coming up in the future through our website and listen to past shows, but also to keep current on news and events, because our Twitter feed is one way that we retweet topics and stories that we think our listeners would be most interested in.
Exactly. And they can also find us through the True Prep website, since they are our major sponsors. They can go to trueprep.com, and there's a little tab on the very top where they can find readyradio.net.
True Prep has really been good to us in our show. They go out of their way, not only in providing sponsorship, but just, you know, the level of commitment and friendship that they have towards us, letting us come to their store and spend the night in their store.
Right.
And everything else that they do for us. We just can't say enough good. So go to trueprep.com. Now, there's one other thing that I wanted to mention before we get into the meat of the bug out bag of upcoming things with True Prep,
mm-hmm.
was that later this month, February, I think it's the 22nd, they are having a chili cook-off.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that they are giving away prizes for. I think the grand prize is a $200 gift certificate. So that might be something that all of our listeners in the Atlanta metro area would like to check out, to go see if they want to enter their prize-winning chili that maybe they developed while they were snowed in the last couple
of
days.
Right, or heck, even if they're not into cooking, they can come and definitely try the chili and vote. Yeah, I mean, that sounds good to me.
It's going to not only have, I'm told, the chili cook-off aspect, but they're also going to be sampling the Mountain House foods, like what I was eating out of their store.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain House is a quality purveyor of freeze-dried goods, and True Prep carries an extensive line, not only in number 10 cans, which keep for 25 to 30 years, but also in little bags that you can put in your trunk of your car. And the bags keep for like 5 years. Now, when it gets hot in the summertime, it degrades some of their storage potential, which you might want to look at something called a Daytrex bar. And I think you know a little bit about those. But while we're talking about the freeze-dried foods, I sampled them. And my three-year-old, who's a picky eater, my five-year-old, who's basically an air fern, both loved them. Mm-hmm. The chili mac with beef was phenomenal. The beef stroganoff tasted like it was hamburger helper. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have told the difference. It was creamy and rich and delicious. The Bavarian hazelnut goo, I don't know what it was really called, but my goodness, it was chocolatey and it had hazelnuts in it and it was creamy and it was just amazing.
This I haven't tried that one.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people who are very curious about how freeze-dried food tastes, so that is so awesome that True Prep is putting this chili cook-off and combining it with a freeze-dried food tasting, because a lot of people are very curious. Because when you say freeze-dried food and you think, maybe not so much.
Well, you know, the image that comes to everyone's head is usually astronaut ice cream, which tastes good, but it's kind of weird. I mean, it's not some it sort of thing that you'd sit down to have at a Christmas dinner, but
right, yeah. Well, you know, and I found some favorites of mine too. But I tell you what, Doug, it looks like we're running out of time. We're gonna take a quick commercial break. So I'll tell you what, when we come back, how about if we take maybe a quick list of what people need to have in their cars on top of their base car prep list, or whatever that's called. What would we call that?
Basic
car emergency preparedness kit. I like it.
I like that.
Okay, let's do that. Well, we'll just talk about maybe some winter items we'll put on top of that. We'll talk about that right when we come back, and we'll see you then.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
You're back listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. We're talking a little bit about winter survival today, and then we're going to move into water purification for the last half of the show. Amy and I have been relating our varied experiences with the huge snowfall that Atlanta has over the last couple of days and how we survived the car apocalypse that piled up as everybody tried to flee the city. Amy, you were saying that you had a list of what you think would be the best things for people to keep in their car. And I know that one of the items was some way to relieve yourself, but
yes.
Apparently you also believe that you should bring something for your cat to relieve themselves in. So why don't you explain that one to me?
Actually, no. Well, cat litter, is definitely on my list. And by the way, those of you that are listening, we will put this list on readyradio.net. And if something's on here that you think that sounds like a great idea, I want that, go to readyradio.net. We'll make sure that this list is here. Cat litter, it's excellent for traction.
Absolutely.
So if your car's sliding on ice, throw a little cat litter down.
And may I make a point for people who don't know how to drive on ice? Because I have some experience at this. I was coming back to our apartment. Now, this is not the day of the ice storm. This is the afternoon of the day after the storm.
Okay.
And there's a guy with a two-wheel drive Xterra trying to go up a rather steep and icy hill. And so he starts to go up the hill, and then he loses traction. And so his solution to losing traction and starting to slide backwards is to floor it.
Oh, no.
Please, folks.
Oh, geez.
You cannot create traction by spinning your tires faster.
I just envisioned a cartoon.
Yeah.
Now.
I was horrified, especially since he was sliding back towards me.
Yes.
But the idea is you can get a lot better traction from static, non-moving rubber than you will from spinning your tires. Mm-hmm. So if you start to slide backwards, don't floor it. Step on the brakes and allow the tires to get as much traction as they can possibly garner from their static state, not instead of the motion. Anyway, that's a little side note. That one's free, folks.
Oh, there you go. I like that. I did have someone rolling back towards me, too. I experienced that. They weren't spinning tires, but it was kind of the close call.
Slide. Mm-hmm. My wife told me that, you know, she spent 7 hours on the roads. She said that people were just acting like something out of Mad Max. People were driving in the medians. Mm-hmm. People driving the wrong way up the other side because nobody was on that side of the road. I don't know if you've seen that advertisement for The Walking Dead for the first season where all the cars were heading out of Atlanta.
Yes.
And Rick was riding in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, this is what happens when you get 2 inches of snow. All the cars are heading out.
Well, it wasn't so much the snow, it was the ice.
Well,
it was the very slippery ice.
What it was is it was neither the snow nor the ice.
It was the panic. You've got it.
Exactly.
Heck yeah, it was the panic. And you said earlier, I mean, just imagine this scenario if any little bit of panic sets in and people are going to flee.
Yeah, when it's something that, because I don't think anyone was afraid of the snow. I don't think anyone was afraid of the ice. They just wanted to get home ahead of
it. Yes. Yeah, but and the ones with kids in schools and, you know, they wanted to go get their kids.
My friend Bill is a teacher, and he was stuck in the school with over 60 kids overnight. He stayed at the school, although he could have got home, no problem. He stayed at the school, took care of the kids. He was serving them four things. We're getting chicken nuggets and french fries for breakfast because that's all Bill can cook. But but he stayed there overnight with those 60 kids to take care of them.
Thanks, Bill. Big shout out to you there, buddy.
In Cherokee County, they were taking kids home by Hummer.
Oh, those kids weren't having fun. Wahoo! Let's do this again.
Yeah. And one of my other friends, Jimmy, he said that he got home with no problem. And then they switched over to the four-wheeler and went out playing.
Oh, fun. Yeah. There you go. All right. I guess you can do that when you're not stuck in a gridlock.
So what would you recommend us have besides kitty litter?
Okay. So I would put together like maybe a little plastic tote or something. You really need to have a nice base, you know, emergency preparedness kit for your car, which would include like jumper cables and, you know, things along those lines. Food and water, you know, the necessities of life. You need some food, you need some water. As far as the food goes, I would say to make sure, you know, consider the amount of people who could possibly be in your car. You know, maybe some granola bars or something with a decent shelf life. Mm-hmm. And just something that you stick in there and grab if you need them.
Can I bring up the word Datrex?
You can, Doug. You can.
Now, Datrex is a company out of Florida that makes rations for lifeboats. And the idea is that you put this in the lifeboat and you don't have to think about it. They're not terribly tasty, so no one's going to be raiding your Datrex supply.
I have to disagree with you there.
Oh, do you serve them for Thanksgiving dinner?
What? Is that your definition of tasty, I guess?
Pretty much, yes. Okay. A little filet mignon, a little prime rib, and a Datrex bar. Not my idea of how I'm going to serve dinner. But they are not bad. They're just not they're not like a candy bar. See, a lot of people put in, you know, gummies or fruit snacks or things that you like to eat. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, you go to get them in an emergency. And, oh, my goodness, the kids got into them a couple weeks ago, and they're all gone.
Well, put it in your trunk. That'll solve the problem. Unless you're in a minivan, I guess that's a problem. But
Or an SUV. Yes. Or you have kids who know how to open your trunk.
Okay, yeah. Well,
which they do. Anyway, but the idea behind these bars is that they're very shelf-stable. Mm-hmm. You can put them in your 120-degree trunk in the summertime, and they're not going to break down like, a military MRE would. An MRE is usually good for 5 years, but you put it in 120 degrees, and it'll last less than 1 month.
Right, exactly, because they're already hydrated.
Right. Mm-hmm. But these bars keep for a very, very long time. So you can get a brick that's about the size of a baking soda box that has 2,400 calories in it, which is enough to keep a person going for an entire day. You need water because they're very, very dry. That's why they're so stable. But, I mean, they're tiny, and you can throw them in your trunk. You don't have to think about them. And I know for a fact that True Prep sells them for just a little under $5 for a pack.
Right. And, and they basically taste like a coconut cookie.
Yeah, the coconut shortbread cookies that you get, the really, like, 99-cent cheap ones.
Right.
That's exactly what they're like.
Right, exactly. So, therefore, I say they're very yummy. You have to be careful about those, too. Just don't let your kids taste them. Tell them, I mean, because it doesn't have the pretty little pictures on the front, so maybe they won't get into them. But don't let them know what they are, and I think you'll be fine.
But that's one of the things that you could keep in your trunk all the time, a couple of bottles of water. Although I'm a little worried about bottled water, and we'll go through some of the facts about bottled water in a couple of minutes when we get into water purification, because bottled water is not tested as much as tap water. Bottled water is tested under regulations by the Food and Drug Administration, not by the Environmental Protection Agency. And so tap water is actually tested more rigorously than bottled water is. But that aside, having some type of water that you've purified, that's kept in the car, that's stable, is a really good idea, because when you're thirsty, you need some water. But then that leads us to our other problems when you're eating and drinking.
Yes, yes, you need the portable urinal.
There you go. And a blanket.
Yes.
A blanket is very handy. And I would recommend having a 100% wool blanket. Mm-hmm. The beauty of having real wool blankets as opposed to anything else, you know, those little fluffy throws that you get for, you know, $4 after Christmas sale, those sorts of things, they seem nice and they are kind of warm until they get wet.
Oh, good point.
Wool, one, keeps its R value, its heat resistance value when it's wet, so that it'll still keep you warm when it's wet. But also, wool is very unlikely to burn. So you can put out a fire with a wool blanket where anything else might catch fire.
Good point.
Well, having been through car fire before, you learn all sorts of things about what burn and what doesn't.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, and we'll talk about that. We'll have a whole show on that, won't we?
Someday, yeah.
Someday. Well, there's a couple. I tell you what. How about if we talk about maybe a couple of winter weather tips? We'll wrap this up maybe here in just a few, and then we'll get into that water purification.
That sounds good.
Okay, fantastic. Some of the things I think maybe because, like you said earlier in the show, there's a good chance this might happen again by the end of this winter. It's been a darn cold one.
I'm betting it's going to happen next week. We're going to get an ice storm next
week.
Really? Yes.
Golly.
You heard it here first, folks. Next week, next week, Thursday or Friday, I'm betting that we're going to have a large ice storm across North Georgia.
Yeah, there you go. Doug the meteorologist for you, folks. So a couple of the winter weather tips. Let's see here. If there is the threat, so let's say that there's the threat of the snow or the ice, keep your car filled up with gas.
Oh, that's an important tip. My wife filled up just before she went out on this expedition, and when she got to troop prep, she was under half a tank. So if she hadn't filled up, she would have been stranded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I actually drive a hybrid. So luckily, in the 5.5 hours I was gone, I had maybe a quarter, you know, had used about a quarter of a tank. I mean, I don't drive a hybrid by accident. You know, there's definitely a good, they come in handy. So another tip, go to the bathroom before you leave.
I wish I could get my kids to do that. And the moment we get in the car, Dad, I have to go to the bathroom. It's like, why didn't we just left? Why didn't you go while we were there? But, you know,
kids. There's so much fun. I know. Little porta potties for them were great. You know, the little kid potties, they work fantastic. Yeah, those are always good. Bring your coat with you. Here's another tip. Bring your coat. I am very guilty about this. A lot of times I know if I'm running from my nice warm car into a nice warm building, it's going to take me 30 seconds to make the trip. A lot of times I don't bring my coat because I'm not wearing it. I don't like to wear it in the car. I'm a little guilty of that. So bring your coat, even if you're just going to leave it in the car seat.
See, I always try to keep one coat in the trunk of the car.
Yeah,
I mean, just something, you know, I have an old coat that would fit over a suit. You know, it was one of those black long frock coats. And it works really well as a blanket. It works really well in a lot of ways and just keeps some of the crud from getting down into the carpet of the trunk. So I just lay that in the bottom of the trunk and leave it there all the time.
Yeah, there you go. And you could throw some boots in there, some, you know, the boots that are made for walking.
Yes, and that's a big deal because, like I said, we saw people walking around in high heels trying to do the side of the road.
And I hope that's the last time. I really hope these people learned. Atlanta, learn. Learn from your mistakes. Throw some boots in your trunk. Okay, how about here, if you are stuck in your car for hours and hours and hours, open a window.
Fresh air.
Fresh air. You know, you could even get out and walk around a little bit and stretch your legs.
Or, you know, turn on something soothing like AM 1160 and listen to the talk of the town.
There you go. I like it.
Folks, I know that we're coming up on another commercial break, and we appreciate you sticking with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about water purification, what it means, what it can do for you. You are listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. We're here on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town, and we're moving into water purification. We had had a wonderful discussion the first half of the show about what to do when the snow hits, but looking back over the last couple of weeks, the other big news story that we've had to deal with was West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And there, they had a chemical spill that basically contaminated, I've heard numbers as high as 60% of all of the residents of that state had contaminated water. A boil advisory was not effective because it was a chemical contamination, not a bacterial one. So even if you boiled the water, you still had the chemicals in it. There was no safe level. The chemical that had escaped was one of the ones that is not tested for by the EPA, and so no one knew how much you had to get out in order for it to be quote-unquote safe. There was a run on bottled water for three states around the area. I saw that Berkey, which is one of the best water filters made today, had a huge backlog. They were saying that they weren't going to be able to fill orders for months and months, and it's just been a real ecological disaster up there. And as we look at what can you do to prepare, I mean, this is something that really could happen anywhere. Anywhere that you have a train running through, anywhere that you have a chemical plant, anywhere that you have a power plant, have chemicals that they're using. And if containment breaks down, it's going into the water. And once it's into the water, how are you going to get it out?
Yeah. Now, where are they at today? Have you heard? Have they? I mean, I would imagine with a chemical, but if it's gone down into the soil, I mean, it doesn't just disappear. It seems like it's there for such a long time.
I believe that the chemical that was in this instance had a half-life, mm-hmm. and that it was breaking down mm-hmm. in a weekly basis, so mm-hmm. that as time went on, it was going to be getting better. But still, I mean, I don't want to be drinking water that has chemicals mm-hmm. in it, which is kind of ironic because your tap water is literally filled with chemicals. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're adding fluoride to the water. They're adding all sorts of different chemicals to the water in the name of making it more safe and mm-hmm. more healthy and cleaning out, you know, all of the bacteria and things that are in the water. Mm-hmm. But you're still left, once they kill the bacteria, you're left with these chemicals coming into your home.
Yes.
And do you want your small children drinking this stuff?
Well, you know, it's when it comes out and it looks clear and, you know, it's just one of those things a lot of times we just don't think about. I mean, there are prescription drugs in our drinking water,
mm-hmm.
you know, a certain amount. I mean, a certain amount of all this stuff is allowed to pass through.
That's a very interesting point because there are regulations on how much is mm-hmm. allowable. It's not that the water has to be clean. It just
right.
has to be clean enough,
yeah, enough. Exactly.
to pass through these regulations.
Right.
And one of the scary things that I learned is that the regulations on drinking water out of a tap are much more stringent than bottled water.
Aha. Uh-huh. So does that matter, like, where the bottled water? Because I know that bottled water comes in from all over. I mean, we have, you know, the spring water that comes bottled. We have, you know, and the thing, Doug, that really kind of, I don't think I can say chap my rear end. Can I say that on radio? I'm not sure. But anyway, I said it nicely. But it's like with a lot of the bottled water, it's just, it came from somebody else's tap.
Yeah.
And they're putting it in bottles and they're selling it.
I looked up the drinking water mm-hmm. that was being sold at Walmart mm-hmm. and I looked at the source because they're required mm-hmm. to put the source.
Right.
It said the Douglasville Municipal Water Supply.
There you go. So
they're bottling it right out of the tap in Douglasville and selling it to you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, not to say that Douglasville doesn't have wonderful water, but it's not really what I'm paying for.
Right.
The National Resource Defense Council did a study that found that 1/4 of all bottled water is actually just tap water.
Yeah, so there you go.
I mean, that's really shocking.
You know,
to me.
A lot of it is the convenience. I mean, I really hate to say the way that we have turned out just at such high speed, and when you're running from place to place. I mean, it's, you know, we're paying just to be able to run in and. It's just convenience, really.
Bottled water is regulated by the FDA instead of the EPA, and FDA rules allow bottlers to label their water as spring water, even though it may be treated with chemicals or it may have been mechanically pumped to the surface. There's no guarantee that it was a spring or that it was a pure spring.
Hmm. So what about, like, the Fiji water? That's a big one.
Yeah,
does that really come from Fiji?
I would.
it's got a pretty label.
I would tend to doubt it, but I haven't actually looked at the label to know what the source is. Most of the bottled water that I find, because, you know, I live here in Georgia now,
mm-hmm.
I've been seeing lots of coming from Blue Ridge. I've seen lots coming from, you know, different named springs, mm-hmm. but that's depleting aquifers too. And when we start to talk about being environmentally sound, that's a big question because Nestle, with their Pure Life water, got into huge trouble recently before depleting an aquifer near Pakistan that caused a huge decrease in the amount of water available for the people in that area where it's already a water-starved environment. And wells were going dry all across the region because this aquifer had been pumped out in order to bottle water to be shipped out.
Hmm. Well, you know, what I'm really digging now is, you know, the glass bottles, you know, were there for a long time. It was the aluminum ones. And,
mm-hmm.
and but it left a little metallic taste, but I'm really big into I love my glass bottle. I'll fill that baby up. And I've been using my Berkey. I know that a lot of people and we'll kind of get into the Berkey and the Berkey filters, but I know with my Berkey that I have, I actually use it every day and I filter my tap water. And
mm-hmm.
And then I'll use that in my glass, and I just feel like I've done my good deed, I guess.
You know, it's interesting you bring up Berkey. I've used Berkey. I used them when I lived in Alaska. I know you use them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only one of several different types of filtration. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of different options out there. Berkey is an adsorption, not absorption, but adsorption method. And that category falls into everything that uses carbon or charcoal or activated carbon or KDF, which is a zinc copper formula for attracting various contaminants out of the water. And I mean, it's a way of filtration that gets to a lot more contaminants than other methods. But there are methods like distillation. Distillation mm-hmm. is where you boil the water, mm-hmm. collect the steam, and allow it to recollect into a different container. Mm-hmm. The beautiful thing about distillation is it gets rid of lots of different chemicals as long as they have a boiling point that's heavy, that's higher than that of water. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like this chemical in West Virginia, they were saying that even distillation wouldn't work because if you boil the water, the chemical inside the water would evaporate too and collect in the new container.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, you start to think then, what are you going to, if you can't even boil it away, I mean, even
good
if you,
gracious.
not just boiling to kill the bacteria, mm-hmm. but boiling to recollect the water.
Yeah.
If you can't do that, what's next? I mean,
wow.
I had one friend tell me that he doesn't trust because he lived near a coal mine and they had chemicals always leaching out of the coal mine mm-hmm. into the water. He didn't trust anything but collected rainwater.
Hmm.
Sounds a little bit like something out of Dr. Strangelove, you know, nothing but rainwater and pure grain alcohol. But really, I mean, that's one of the few ways to know that you're getting water that hasn't had some contaminant in it is because you're collecting rainwater. And even in some areas, rainwater can be suspect mm-hmm. because it's picking up things from the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The I'm really surprised to hear about, like, the distillation because, I mean, I know that, like, with salt water, so if people have, like, a saltwater pool or live out on the coast, in order to get the salt out, the only way that is at least what... from what I understand, the mm-hmm. only way to pull the salt out is through distilling. And I've also heard, too, that it is not good for you to only drink distilled water because you're missing so many minerals that you need.
That's right. Water is the world's greatest solvent. I mean, if you're going to move a mountain, the best way to do it is with water.
I like it.
And what the water does is as it flows over, I mean, this is mm-hmm. why we wash our hands with water, not with something else, because mm-hmm. water looks to absorb as much as it can. It wears away everything it gets, can get its little paws on because it's a really good solvent. And so when you have salt water or something like that, what you're doing is you're preying on the ability to boil the water off, leaving the heavy minerals mm-hmm. behind, and then you recollect the water. Well, this water now has nothing in it,
mm-hmm, right.
and it is hungry. It is out there looking for all of these things that it needs to make its covalent bonds with, and it will find them in your body, and it will start to leach mm-hmm. out minerals from you to make itself happy because, mm-hmm. you know, all the little electrons in there are trying to find their mates, and if they can do it by sucking things out of you, they will.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can really, you know, overdo it. I mean, sometimes people will think, well, gosh, just the absolute best way to take everything out of the water is distilling, but you really are missing out if you do it that way.
Another really popular method is reverse osmosis. I mean, everyone sees reverse osmosis in the stores. You know, you can go up and get your bottled water out of the machine. It says reverse osmosis.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the ratio is of good water you have to, or what water you get out to the bad water you put in on reverse osmosis?
I don't.
For every 3 gallons of contaminated water you put into the system, you get 1 gallon out.
That doesn't add up to me.
Yeah, you're going to lose, you lose 2 gallons for every gallon you get.
Where does it go?
I mean, well, you flush it out of the system.
Oh,
what it's doing is...
Sounds wasteful.
It's incredibly wasteful, and it has been banned in Florida and some other states
really?
Because it is so wasteful of the water table.
Hmm.
Now, granted, it does work very well because, you know, osmosis is the act of drawing particles from one side to another. Reverse osmosis forces the particles out,
mm-hmm.
and that is forcing them out into the 2 gallons of wastewater mm-hmm. you're throwing away
oh, wow.
to give you 1 gallon of clean water,
mm-hmm.
but it takes a lot of energy and it is very, very wasteful of water resources.
Wow. Well,
the last major way that we can treat water, and this isn't having anything to do with contaminants or with chemicals in the water,
mm-hmm.
but this is just with viruses and bacteria, and that's UV light.
Mm-hmm.
UV is a very good way to kill anything that is living, so you can have your water go through a UV light system that will kill the bacteria and viruses in it to make it safe to drink in that manner. But it does absolutely nothing to remove any of the particulate matter that may be involved.
Okay, so it won't, like, actually filter, like, if you had stream water or something like that maybe had some sand particles or some, you know, nice little crunchy elements to them?
Or chemicals like what happened in West Virginia or fluoride or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, we've got a lot of information. We're coming up to another commercial break, so I'm going to thank everyone listening in. We will be back in just a minute to finish our discussion on filtration, talk about the True Prep product of the week. You are listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
We're back on Ready Radio. You're listening to Doug and Amy, and we're talking about water today. One of the things that I had found that was very interesting was that the Centers for Disease Control estimates that in America, 900 people a year die from contaminated water. Now, Amy, I know that you had heard some stories about some major outbreaks concerning water.
You know, Doug, I was doing a little homework before our radio show today and just kind of digging around to see what's out there on the World Wide Web. Amazing stuff you can find out there. But one of the things that I read that I didn't really remember, it happened back in 93, talked about a serious outbreak of waterborne parasites in Milwaukee in 1993. And it said over 100 people were killed and over 400,000 got sick.
What virus was used? Do you know?
It wasn't a virus. They were parasites. Okay. They were, it was the Cryptosporidium, which, yes. So
now that's one that I've heard. That and Giardia are the two that I hear all the time.
Yeah, they are basically, as far as like the most frequent cause of the waterborne diseases among humans. And the biggest way that you get that is from consuming water with these parasites.
I've heard that it's a larger concern mainly out west, but that it is all across North America. And the reason I know the names is because I watch Survivor Man on the Science Channel, and Les Stroud is always talking about how when he's out in the Rockies to boil water because he doesn't want to get Giardia. Apparently he had gotten it once, and that was enough for him.
And it's basically the symptoms are very similar to the flu, like with the chills and fever, and the big thing is diarrhea. So you could have diarrhea for a month, and that's the way that you get rid of these parasites, and it's not a pretty thing.
Wow.
Have you ever had it?
I've never had Giardia or Cryptosporidia.
Okay.
I may have had other ailments, but let me ask you this. I've heard about LifeStraw. In your opinion, is that a viable solution for all of these, you know, viruses and bacteria?
I don't think it does viruses. I think, doesn't it? Now, I'm not really sure. I'd have to do the research. Maybe you know, but
According to their advertising, they do not take care of viruses.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because I know that there's only a few. Now, viruses are teeny, 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 tiny. And if you can find a filter that will do viruses, then it's going to do everything else that's bigger than a virus.
Right. Yeah. And I know that True Prep carries, I know they carry LifeStraw. They also carry Frontier straws, and they carry Aquamira tablets for putting into water to kill different bacteria and things. But the flagship line for them is Berkey. And why is that?
Well, Berkey is because it will basically take out anything as small as viruses, which you know, it includes these parasites and chemicals. And basically, I mean, if you're looking for one filter that's going to take out the majority of everything, it's going to be your Berkey.
So Berkey uses a ceramic filter with an activated carbon element inside. I've been reading on their website that not only are they're cleanable up to 100 times, which extends the life of the filter dramatically. That they say that you can get around 3,000 gallons between cleanings, and that the number of gallons depends on how many filter elements you have in your system. So for a 2-filter system, you do 6,000 gallons. For, you know, a 10-filter system, you would do 30,000 gallons. And then you also have the ability to use just a Scotch-Brite pad to rub around the outside of the filter to clean it to be able to keep using it for longer.
Exactly. Yeah, we're talking about cleaning the filter. We're not talking about, you know, soap and water, but we're talking about just, you know, scrubbing the outside with that Scotch-Brite pad under, you know, some running water.
Right.
And if you don't have clean running water, then use your Berkey. You've already got some clean water in the reservoir. Just kind of open up that tap and scrub away.
And that will remove the contaminants that are blocking the pores on the outside. And the idea being that once those pores are filled up, then, of course, you're going to have a decrease in the flow rate, which shows you that your filters are dirty and need to be cleaned. That way you know immediately when your filter is becoming dirty, so you don't have to worry about it becoming clogged or is it still being effective. As long as it's filtering, it's being effective.
Right, exactly. And they have a very large line. Anything from a little travel bottle, their Sport Berkey, and that has a little miniature filter in it. And you could take that along with you. And let me tell you, water is heavy. And if you're traveling a long way, then
water is 8 pounds to the gallon.
Yes, it's heavy stuff. And imagine, you know, people that are hiking and things like that. You don't want to take that much water with you. Take your little travel Berkey. You can go and, you know, scoop up some stream water, drink it straight out of the straw, and it's purified. Not just filtered. is purified.
And the nice thing about the Berkey system compared to a lot of the other ones on the market is it has a flexible bottle. So you can actually, mm-hmm. instead of just drinking from it, but you can use pressure to squeeze the bottle to force water through the filter, mm-hmm. out the straw into a cooking container so that you can make your Mountain House freeze-dried foods on the run instead of having to like suck it out of the bottle and then spit, I guess.
You know, you could. I wouldn't suggest it.
Well, you know, it kind of does that whole mother bird thing, and there you go. But no, I would rather not have people spitting my water out to make my food.
No.
It would,
like a little mama bird.
There
no.
you go. Yeah, yeah, no, not my idea of fun. No. But there are bigger systems. The one I used up in Alaska was the Crown. Mm-hmm. It was the largest one they make, and the reason was because we had so much high sulfur levels in our water that if you bathed with it or if you washed clothes with it, you would smell like rotten eggs.
Wow.
So we used
That's
our...
That's not pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah, the kids were really taken aback by that. So mm-hmm. we used ours for all of our water needs, not just for drinking, not just for cooking, but also for washing clothes for a family of four with two small children, mm-hmm. and for bathing.
Yeah. Now, I know that all the Berkeys, or at least the majority of the Berkeys, come with two filters. But the difference with the line is the bigger the Berkey, well, for the most part, the bigger the Berkey, the more filters you can actually put in. Now, it's not purifying it any further. It's already beautifully purified. It just comes out faster.
That's
right. The
flow
rate is much faster.
Because with more filters, you have a larger surface area, mm-hmm. to draw the water in on. Also, I found that keeping the hopper on top, the top reservoir, mm-hmm. filled full, mm-hmm. increases the filtration rate because now you're using the entire filter.
Right.
The filters are
the
rather
pressure.
Tall. One of the other things that you should be considering is what filter is best for your water that you're doing. A lot of people are concerned about being able to, like you said, be on the run, just take off, go, mm-hmm. and fill up water from the stream and be drinking and, mm-hmm. and on the run. Other people are trying to filter city water, and city water and well water are going to be different than stream water.
Right.
And so there are other filters, even other filters made by Berkey, that you may want to employ for different reasons. For example, Berkey makes a special filter to ensure that you get all of the fluoride out of your water.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a PF2 filter. Now, if you are only going to be getting water out of streams, or if you're only dealing with well water, you may not need that filter.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're dealing with city water, you might want to have that to make sure you get all the fluoride out of your water.
Right, and that's something that that you can actually do is have your water tested. And if you are living in an area that has, you know, a heavy amount of the fluoride in it, then that's something that you can look at. Now, the black filters will pull out fluoride, but just not near as much. Exactly. And then one of the beautiful things I love about these Berkeys is that it's a gravity-fed filtration system. You don't need electricity. You don't plug these babies in. You just pop the water in the top and just let gravity do the work.
If you're using city water, your county utility is required to issue a consumer confidence report every year before July 1st with a readout of what your water had in it over the last year, all of the contamination levels. This is fascinating reading. Not only do you receive one in the mail, but it is usually posted in the county courthouse as a public notice. So you can go and you can also contact your utility and ask them for the consumer confidence report to know what was in your water over the last year.
Yeah, maybe we should put a link on readyradio.net for our listeners to go and find that information.
I think that would be a wonderful idea. I'll make sure that our crack internet team gets on that today so that it's available right after the show.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good. So, Doug, we are just full of information. And one of the things that True Prep actually does is offer classes. Should we get into that?
Yes.
Okay.
The new class offerings for True Prep are rolling out this month. On February 1st is the first of their new classes. And it used to be that they had a couple of classes a year. They were kind of, you know, larger classes, 3 or 4 hours in length. But they're taking a new direction, trying to make the classes more accessible to everybody. So the classes are being broken up into 1 to 3 hour segments. The big classes like how to pressure can your chili,
mm-hmm.
which actually involves showing you how to cook chili, how to pressure can the chili, and every step of it's done in front of you will be a little longer. But the basic classes like, you know, and basics on reloading, basics on paracord, basics on freeze-dried food and canning, those classes are only going to be an hour in length. They are set up like a college curriculum so that you mm-hmm. can take credit hours working towards a degree. All the classes, depending on how long they are $20 per hour. So
mm-hmm.
if your class is 1 hour, it's $20. If it's 3 hours, it's $60. But once you complete a course of study, you will get a certificate showing that you completed a course of study, let's say in food preservation,
mm-hmm.
and you will get a gift certificate, which will be enough to basically act as a refund of a large portion of your tuition so that you can purchase something that's along the lines of what you just learned. So let's say that you finished the canning curriculum. Mm-hmm. When you get to the end, you'll have enough of a gift certificate to be able to buy a pressure canner.
That's pretty exciting. Well, about how many different classes would be in...
It sounds like...
Approximately. I'm sure it would vary.
Depending on the course of study, it's going to be between about 10 and maybe 15 hours total. So you're looking at a total investment of well under $300, mm-hmm. with a rebate at the end of probably somewhere around $210 to $250 of that. So you're really only putting up like $50 at the end of the day, and you can get something that's very useful into what you just learned.
I like it. Yeah, I'm a very hands-on kind of a learner. I like to ask questions as I'm learning. So, I mean, you know, I dig YouTube and things like that, but, you know, just to have people there asking questions, I'm like, yeah, you know, I didn't really think to ask that. That's a good question.
And these classes are rolling out at their Marietta location. Begin with. I heard mm-hmm. that they've not only secured a new lease today, but that they are expanding the Marietta location mm-hmm. from 3,000 feet to 9,000 square feet of retail space and warehouse space. This will make True Prep the largest preparedness store in Georgia and allow them to open up into doing classes on site. And the next project, because they both have a store in Marietta and in Jasper, mm-hmm. is to do teleclasses mm-hmm. where they will be live streaming the classes to those locations, so that people can both interact and see the classes and talk to the instructor. Wow. So this is a new day for True Prep, and everything is coming together, and I think that this is very exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, also, just to remind everybody that we have that chili cook-off coming up. Check out TruePrep.com, yep. our sponsors.
Go to TruePrep.com, search for chili. It'll bring up the entry. That you can, it's $20 to enter, and then you can come show off your wares. Or just come out, taste everybody's chili, taste some Mountain House food. And I hear they're going to be running a huge discount on Lodge cast iron cookware, as well as freeze-dried food that weekend. So it's going to be a great event for the family to come out, experience what the food is like, enjoy yourselves. Thank you all for tuning in to us this week. We're going to be back next week with another great topic. We've really enjoyed being here with you guys. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by True Prep. For all your prepping needs, visit True Prep online at truprep.com or visit a True Prep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Amy get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday evenings at 5, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.